unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As most of you know, the series of readings that we hear in church every Sunday is a schedule of readings that has been used in the church for at least 1,500 years. And so, on December the 7th, 1941, it was the gospel which we just heard read, which was also read in church that morning. Jesus said, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world." So those words were read on the morning of Sunday, December 7th, 1941, 75 years ago this coming Wednesday. And of course, it was on that day that, without any warning, the forces of the Empire of Japan attacked the American fleet in the harbor at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. And so whenever this second Sunday of Advent comes around and we hear this gospel, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world." 75 years later, I believe the words are just as full of relevance and power as they were on that Sunday 75 years ago. Because we live in a world where it can truly be said that people are fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. The course of the church's life through history is always one of tribulation and danger. And so is this world of sinners, until the Savior comes again at that last and great day and makes all things new, including you and me. And so when we Christians consider the signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, we know that this is not the end of the story. The end of the story is for Christians never death, but resurrection and the life of the world to come. A life far beyond our ability to imagine as we are in this world today. And so, although this blessed Advent season reminds us of the approaching judge, it also reminds us of the approaching Savior, who surely will come and fulfill his promise and bring his faithful children to that kingdom which in his love he prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And so, although in this Advent season we think of some grim realities, this Advent season is finally and most truly a time of great hope. And so we hear the words of St. Paul in the epistle, which is read in our churches, as it has been for more than a millennium, on this day, where Paul, speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, writes to the Christians at Rome, "Whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." Whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And the encouragement we Christians find as we consider those Old Testament scriptures is how God wonderfully fulfilled those promises to his ancient people, Israel. And so Paul goes on to say that Christ confirmed God's promises made to the ancient patriarchs, promises that also the Gentiles would glorify God for his mercy. And so St. Paul takes four passages from the Old Testament, promises, passages which have found their fulfillment in Christ. From Psalm 18, "Therefore I will praise thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name." From the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And from Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." And then the wonderful words of Isaiah the prophet, "The root of Jesse shall come, he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope." These promises are fulfilled as Christ, who is to be the Savior not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles, comes in the manger at Bethlehem, lives his holy life, heals the sick, raises the dead, and then finally is rejected, crucified, dead and buried, and then rises from the dead, ascends into heaven, and sends the Holy Spirit on the apostles, so that all this good news is then proclaimed not only to the descendants of the patriarchs, but also to every nation under heaven. So we see how the message of Christ has gone to all the nations. And as we see the fulfillment of God's Old Testament prophecies in Christ and all that followed, so we are encouraged to believe that his promises to us will surely be fulfilled. And so Paul prays for the Roman Christians. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." That is Paul's prayer for the Roman Christians, and it is God's wish for all who trust in him, that we may be filled with all joy and peace in believing in Jesus Christ our Savior, and so by the power of the Holy Spirit we may abound in hope. And as we now keep this holy season of Advent, looking forward both to the yearly remembrance of Christ's coming in humility as the child of Mary, and also looking forward to his second coming as judge and savior, may our hearts too be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we too may abound in hope. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.